Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4. I do appreciate Brother Wiggins singing. By the way, he made a new CD. And do you know when it's going to be ready to go? So it ought to be here in the next couple of weeks. When he went out to Florida for his vacation, he made a new CD. Also, he went to some classes, and we bought some equipment as well to start recording some of our own things. And so he's learned how to do that. We're going to be doing some of that from the choir all the way through. And soon you'll be able to go to the bookstore and buy CDs from our own people, which will be tremendous. As I said, when the group was here Sunday morning, I just encourage you to just saturate yourself throughout the week in godly things, godly music. I still listen to ESPN radio some, but really here in the last 8 weeks, I've just really enjoyed plugging my. I still have an old iPod, the old big thick one, you know, and just plugging it in and listening to it, and just what a blessing it is to just kind of get away from some of those things and get your mind on the Lord. And I enjoyed preaching at camp. I preached Ehud at camp. Some of y'all remember I preached it here. 2-part series on Ehud. I think the teenagers enjoyed it. And then I preached Daniel. I was going to preach Joseph. So I planned on preaching it on Wednesday during camp. And so Monday night when Brother Agatis got up to announce what he was preaching all week, guess what it was? The life of Joseph. And he preached a 4-part series on the life of Joseph in the evenings at camp. So I shied away from that, feeling that he would cover it really well, and he did. It was amazing. In fact, he really encouraged me, inspired me, and I'm going to go back and rewrite Joseph and make it a 4-part series and preach it to you on Wednesday night as we continue to preach through people of the Bible, heroes of the faith, and really every one of these. As I preached Ehud again and kind of rewrote it and put it together for the teenagers, I just looked at myself. That ought to be a 4-part series as well. And just tremendous, tremendous people in the Bible that we can go back and look at, that we can learn a lot from. The characteristics, the attributes of these individuals who can encourage us to live right, to stand firm in the faith. And there's no greater than some of the greatest examples, or one of the greatest examples of standing firm in the faith is the life of Job. I know it's pretty familiar to most of you, but there's some here tonight who haven't heard the whole account. So I look forward tonight to just kind of reiterating this. And we may preach this in 2 parts as well, because tonight I want to mainly dwell on his suffering. And you know, we always ask the question, and the thought comes up, why do the godly suffer? And we see the example and some of the answers in the life of Job. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, verse 19 now, listen. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a what? Faithful Creator. Again, we say this often, you don't have to ask why when you know who. I mean, God created all things. I think he can handle what's going on in our life. And he knows what's going on in our life. Let's pray. We thank you tonight, God, again, for your love for us and sending your Son to die on the cross for us. We thank you that you do care and that you are not very far from any of us. And you've asked us to lay all our cares upon you because you do care for us. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight to see some of these very important truths found in the life of Job. And we ask this in your name. Amen. There are many reasons for suffering in the Christian life. And one of the greatest examples of one who suffered in the Bible is Job. We see, turn over to Job chapter 1. And in fact, I think I just got through reading through the book of Job. I think, Brother Joyce, did you just recently as well? I know we kind of went back and forth on some of the scriptures there in Job. And I enjoyed reading through Job again. And you kind of get bogged down in the battering between the friends. And I can't say that I read every word of it, but I had to go back sometimes 5 or 6 times. In fact, I think I told you that on Wednesday night. There was one morning there I had to go back 6 or 7 times and reread the same scripture because my mind would not stay focused. And but it does get a little tedious going through there and hearing the conversation between Job and the three so-called friends that came to comfort him. I mean, that's silly. They didn't come to comfort him. They came to beat up on him. And so look here with me in Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, that means complete, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And he goes on to talk about his sons feasting. He rose up and he blessed them, and so forth. Look at verse 6. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" That's why a lot of times when I go in and pray for people in their homes, especially I pray for that God would put a hedge of protection about them. That's where we kind of get that truth, that principle. Okay, "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sibians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." He goes on to talk about the sheep the same way and the camels the same way. Everything was lost. And while they yet speaking, there came, verse 18, "There came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Imagine that. Losing all, at that time, your wealth, everything that you have, and then very end here finding out that your children are dead. What is Job's response? Verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and" what? "Worshipped." If that's not highlighted or something in your Bible, at least the word "worshipped," it ought to be. And very famous scripture ought to be underlined in your Bible, verse 21, "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Nor charged God foolishly. What an amazing, amazing reply or amazing response to what had happened. What was Job's circumstances? He had lost all of his possessions. He lost his children. He lost, we'll find over in chapter 2. Let's go over there and read a little bit more. And Satan comes to God again and says, verse 4, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with the sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown." My papa used to get boils every once in a while. And those are nasty, nasty things. I saw a picture of Brother Treadwell's bull that he got, and he sent it to me. I'm glad he did. It was unbelievable. that was just one or two. I can't even imagine being covered from head to toe in them. And he said in verse 8, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes, took a piece of broken pottery, and scraped his skin with it. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? And then his three friends show up and everything changes. Job's circumstances, loss of possessions, loss of his children, loss of his health, loss of his wife. And these are still the four main areas in which we continue to suffer in this life. Possessions, children, think about it, health, and relationships. Those four areas, isn't it? Think about it. Every area you've suffered has been in these four areas. What was the cause of this suffering? God permitted it. God permitted it, but Satan performed it. God does not do evil, but God permitted it. Satan performed it. Satan can only perform what God will... I'm sorry. Satan cannot perform what God will not permit. Anything that comes into our life has been permitted by God. Amen? That's why we don't have to ask why when we know who. Everything that comes in our life, God has permitted that. And we're going to skip on over now. Look over to Job chapter 42. Again tonight, not necessarily studying Job's life, but studying the suffering that he went through. We'll cover here in a couple of weeks the character of Job. Job chapter 42, then said, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do anything, or can do everything, verse 2, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, I declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. We know that Job, the results of Job's suffering was that he got a new glimpse of who God is. He says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it goes on to say, the Lord, verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job and he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Can I tell you that God values Christ-likeness? Job prayed for his three friends that beat up on him. Not physically, but emotionally. Everything about them, if you go back and read it. God rewarded Job. Job's trials allowed him to see God. As Job seeing God as creator and in control, Job repented. And we'll go over that in just a little bit. But Job basically got a creation lesson from God in chapters 38, 39, 40. Job got to witness God's power over the weather, God's power over the dinosaurs, God's power over everything. Just again, as Job questioned God, he reminded him that God is in control. As you think about suffering, as it led Job to seeing God afresh. Every time we go through a trial, it ought to not make us bitter, but make us better. Every time we face a temptation, a trial, a tribulation in our life, it ought to bring us closer to God, not farther away. If you're experiencing and you have experienced trials, and we all have, Jesus said himself, in this world you shall have tribulation. As we experience these trials and tribulations, we ought to come to God with those problems, with those burdens. Take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen? And then as we leave them there, as we experience these trials, it ought to bring us closer to God. It just still gets me as a pastor to see church folks, people that I love, members and others who, when they start going through a problem, when they experience a trial, they stop coming to church. When they experience some really hefty trial, sometimes they'll stop you know, what should be happening in their life. They stop the most important thing in their life. In other words, when you experience these things, you shouldn't stop coming to church. You should come to church more. You shouldn't stop reading your Bible. You should start reading your Bible more. When a trial or something you're facing, whether it's, you know, whether it's relational, whether it's economical, whether it's children related, whether it's health related, any of those areas in which Satan has been permitted to inflict you or afflict you. And by the way, it's not just Satan, but sometimes those areas in our life, those four areas, have been inflicted of our own free will. We've made some choices, right? But I'm telling you, even if we've made some stupid choices, I went ahead and said it. That word has a place. And when we make some wrong choices in life, we make some wrong, do some wrong things, and we have done it. You know what? God loves us. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, we think about Peter and others who made some wrong choices, and God loved them. And when they got themselves in a mess, God still picked them up. And certainly, whatever area burdens or whatever areas of tribulation you're facing, that it ought to bring you closer to the Lord. Listen, as Job faced these problems, he lost everything, and yet still blessed the Lord, still worshiped the Lord. Naked came out of my mother's womb, naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? And then his three friends show up, and his three friends basically beat on him for day after day after day. I mean, just say to Job, you have sinned against God. You have sinned against God. All the things that have befallen you, everything that you're facing today, is because you have something immoral, you have done something wrong, and therefore God is judging you. And in the Old Testament primarily, that's what the Old Testament saints believe. If there was something in your life, something bad happening to you, then it's there because God is judging, punishing you. Right? And that's what these three friends began to do over and over and over and over again. And we won't go through the tedious process of going through all the various conversations they had. But Job's reply basically was this: I don't know of anything I've done. I just don't know of anything I've done. And Job began to cry out to God. God, please show me. He began to cry out to God, please send me someone who I can talk to. Remember the famous verse there, it says, I wish that there was a daysman between us so that I could know exactly what's happening in my life. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus Christ now. That mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen? So, Job saw Jesus Christ. By the way, we first see him when we accept Christ as our Savior, don't we? Isaiah says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. We see him at salvation. We see him when we surrender, fully surrender to him. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And Isaiah, as he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. And he repented. And he said, Lord, hear my sin me. Remember this, I'm not going back and read it. But as Isaiah saw the Lord, he abhorred himself. As Job saw the Lord, he said, I repent in dust and ashes. As we see the Lord, we see ourselves for who we are. And though Job had kept himself, and Job had been a man of character, a man of integrity, his three friends began to wear him down. He does finally sin. We'll go over that in just a moment. And the trial also helps not only at salvation do we see the Lord, not only do we see him at surrender at that time. There ought to be a time in your life you can look back and say, you know, not only am I saved, but I am fully surrendered to the Lord. I told you that while I was gone to California at the leadership conference this year, that's the one thing that really touched my heart. When Jesus said to the disciples, cast your net on the other side. They've been tolling all night. They've been catching, they caught nothing. But Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. Nevertheless, at thy word. Fully surrendered to God. Fully surrendered. No matter what's going wrong in your life, no matter what you may face, being fully surrendered. And as you fully surrender to the Lord, you'll see him for who and what he is. I'm glad I know who and what He is. I've seen it. And then the trials also help to bring Christ back into focus. Again, Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see of thee. After everything that Job went through, it brought his focus back. Brought his focus back. The trials brought his focus back to the Lord Jesus Christ, or brought his focus back to God. And as you go through trials, it should bring your focus back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It should bring Him back into focus in your life. Not the opposite of that. Job's trials allowed him to see himself for who he was. Listen to this. I think this is Brother Stewart. Took this out of some of the stuff that he had written. It says, what the loss of possessions and physical health couldn't do to Job, that is, get him to sin by charging God foolishly. Remember we read that in chapter 1, verse 22, and chapter 2, verse 10. Bad theology from Job's three friends could. The trial didn't get him. He still didn't charge God foolishly. And what the trials couldn't do, the bad theology of Job's three friends could. Sticks and stones can break our bones, and words can do much harm. Job's friends battered him with their words, bad theology, an improper understanding of how God relates to man and his creation. I mean, they automatically thought that if you had something bad going on in your life, God was judging you for some sin in your life. That's bad theology. That's bad doctrine. That's bad teaching. Always bringing discouragement to Job. Job finally became a critic at the end of his Creator in order to justify himself. He became a critic of his Creator. You ever been there? You ever been there? Now, I think we should ask why is this happening in my life? And go back and make sure there's not sin in our life. Amen? But as we look into our life, we say, well, I've cleared myself of sin, and yet I'm still facing this trial. I'm still going through this trial. That's when we shouldn't ask God, why are you letting this happen to me? Right? Job became a critic of his Creator. Job, during the trial and as he was going through the trial, I read this to you a few months ago. Job chapter 23 verse 10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me. I was watching one day on one of the channels where they were taking gold that was taken out of the ground, and they were heating it and getting all the impurities out, and they showed the process that was to go through. And it is a process. Can I tell you that the trials that we face as Christians is just merely a process that God is taking us through to purify us as gold in the fire. The Bible describes it also in many different ways in which God is taking us and molding us and shaping us into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. The affliction of serious Christians are designed for the trial of their faith, not the destruction, but for testing. It's to the advantage, not to their ruin. It's not to our ruin. God isn't out to ruin us. He's out to conform us to the image of His Son. As we think about that, I think one of the greatest illustrations of that is we're going to cover it in the conclusion, but the chastening of a dad with his son or his daughter. As we are training up a child and nurturing them in the way they should go. My dad recently sent me some things from the garden, and I enjoyed it very, very much. My wife cooked up fried okra and fried squash. It was tremendous. He also sent us some fresh tomatoes. And I had some fresh tomatoes from Miss Edna's garden here. I don't remember, 4th of July or something, back somewhere. And so I got some more fresh tomatoes and just take a little salt and put on it. Just eat them. Anybody else have done that? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And I remember as a kid, very, very vividly, planting a big garden in our house. Dad always planted a big garden. Take those tomato plants and plant them, and then take that metal cage and put around it. And he was trying to keep those tomato plants. And as that tomato plant grew, make sure those vines are up and through the cage to keep those limbs or those deals off the ground. And conforming that, helping shape that tomato plant. And that's what God is doing with us through the trials and the things that we are facing. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And there's a lot here that I've written down, but we'll hit them on. Our trials and Job's trials are for our own good. Number one, they're for the chastisement. Job 5:17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." As we think about our parents and how they disciplined us. And, certainly I talk about my dad and the discipline that I had when I was a kid. And I can tell you at the time, I did not enjoy it. I did not see the significance of it. But as I grew into an adulthood, I understand why my dad disciplined me. And I'm thankful for it. Absolutely thankful for it. Can I tell you that my dad had my best interest in mind? He had my best interest in mind. He was doing what was necessary to shape and mold me, to make a young man of me. I'm so glad of that. I'm glad he didn't wimp out. A lot of parents wimp out. You know, they just don't, they just tired, just don't want to take care of it, especially as the kids get older. Man, I'm just telling you, parents, don't give up. It's worth it. It's worth it. Just keep at it. It's worth it to have adult children that you can enjoy because you took the time when they were little to encourage them by using the Board of Education, the Seat of Understanding, by spending time with them. And I've had, again, I know I've, this is one of my hobby horses, but listen, I've had many people come in and say, "Preacher, I've used the Board of Education. It don't work." Well, there's several reasons why it may not have. One of them, probably the biggest one is the board does not work unless you've spent time and loving time with them. I'm telling you, if there's no relationship there between you and your children, then the Board of Education will not work. It won't work. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. And you got to spend time with your children, develop a relationship with your children, and then the Board of Education will work. Number two is being consistent with the Board of Education. Be consistent. All right, I'll get off my hobby horse. The chastisement of the Lord. Job says, "Hey, behold, happy is the man that God corrected." Happy? I'm not happy about being corrected. Are you? Job says, "Hey, don't despise the chastening of the Almighty." Can you imagine losing everything and still having the clarity of thought to say that? I mean, losing everything. I don't know about you, but I haven't lost everything. I mean, I can look back in life a few times where there's been some financial crisis happen and I've lost a few things and haven't had as much money in my pocket as maybe I do today. But I never missed a meal. God's good, isn't He? Listen. God has blessed us immensely. And Job says, "Hey, don't despise the chastening of the Lord." David was whipped for his sins. Bathsheba, right? With Bathsheba. Samson was whipped for his sins. Queen Jezebel. Ahab, you reap what you sow. Amen. Number two, the trials of Job were for chastisement or show chastisement. To show that God works everything to our good. Trials are there to show that God works everything to our good. So sometimes He's just there to chastise us. We've done something wrong. He's bringing us back in line. And number two, to work everything to our good. Job 42 verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had beforehand." God will work everything to your good. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Unto them which are exercised thereby. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." God works everything to our good. We don't like it. Just like I didn't like getting spankings. I got a spanking every day till I was 12. I was telling the teenagers up at camp, my wife was present when I got my last spanking when I was 15. As I had an argument with my sister about who's to wash dishes. I was still right, still am today. But my dad didn't care who was right and who was wrong. All he cared about was we were arguing. So I think we went out to the garage and he spanked us. Yeah, 15. God works all things together for good. Whether it's chastisement, everything has worked together for our good. For His purpose. Why do the righteous suffer? That they may truly see God thus knowing His presence. That one might see himself as Isaiah saw himself and as Job saw himself. It's very easy for us to think too highly of ourselves. That one might be purified as gold in the fire. For chastisement as a father chasteneth his son or daughter. For the good and God's glory. We don't have time to cover that tonight. We've covered that here recently on a Sunday morning. Why is this man blind? Who sinned? Jesus said, and then the disciples asked, his parents or him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one. He's blind for my glory. He's blind for my glory. See, you could be going through a trial right now, and it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your neighbor's fault. It's not your parents' fault. God simply wants to get glory from your life. I can tell you, we're being watched. Every one of us has somebody watching us. Lastly, and I love this one, to stop the mouth of Satan. What was Job being tested for? All of these things Job was being tested for, but mainly to stop the mouth of Satan. I wonder if God can look down on us and say, have you considered my servant Eric? Have you considered my servant? And as we go through the trial, I wonder if God can continue to look down and say, look how he's doing. Look how he's doing, Satan. I could see God as Satan again comes to him and says, well, you know, sure, he's lost everything, but everything, he'll give everything for his life. God said, well, go ahead. You can touch him, but you can't take his life. And yet, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We can learn something from Job's faith. He didn't know about the prologue or the epilogue. He didn't know about the beginning or the end. He didn't know about the meeting in heaven. We know about it, but he didn't know. And yet, he continued to remain faithful. Nothing shows more accurately what we are and the way we are, and the way we'll stand, but trials, what trials show us in our life. Teabag Christians, the real flavor comes out when we get in hot water. No pain, no gain. No thorns, no throne. No gale, no glory. No cross, no crown. Right? I enjoy exercising from time to time. I actually do enjoy exercising. I've always enjoyed exercising. I just enjoy eating more. But I do enjoy exercising. Always have. Hang on, let's clarify. Not running a marathon, not running any kind of long distance, and not any cardio. Cardio's for the birds. But I enjoy working out. Real man workout. You know, lifting weights. Sorry. And man, you can work out and you can get really, really sore. You can get sore from cardio. But the pain is there for a reason. Now, one thing to get hurt, but I'm talking about the soreness you get. Right? So, I've been working out now for 3 months. And so, before I leave to go to camp, I get weighed. And they also measure me. See how much I've gained, how much I've lost, how much fat I've lost, how much muscle I've gained. So they're measuring all my measurements, and I've lost everywhere. I mean everywhere. I've lost around the stomach a lot. I almost can button my jacket. But I gained in one area, my calves. I gained 2 inches around my calves. How does that happen? Well, it was all that pain, that stinking guy making me run up the stairs. I didn't want to run up the stairs. Brother John, we're not made to run upstairs. But no, run up those stairs. Yes, sir, I guess I will. Run up them stairs. Gain 2 inches. Y'all want to see them? All that soreness, and all that stuff that happened for 3 months. Lose everywhere, my calves are 2 inches bigger. No pain, no gain, right? Let me tell you, as we go through, that's so silly. I just did that to be silly. But as we go through life, we're going to experience pain, but it's there to grow us, to grow our faith muscle, our faith in the Lord. Everything you face, everything, every difficulty you face helps you grow just a little stronger in your faith. You could just see Job at the end there. Lord, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I've heard of him. I've heard of him since I was 2. But I can look back in my life and see I just hadn't heard about him. I've seen him because I've experienced it. But now I see thee. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. And when you experience a trial in your life, whatever it may be, if you will get closer to God, then you'll experience the same thing. You'll experience that emotion in which you see yourself for who you are, and you see him for how great he really is. What a blessing it is to be saved. Amen? To know him as our Savior. And Job experienced that. Let's all